T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in. It's a Monday morning. Dick Vermeil still talking somewhere in Canton, Ohio. Along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Brian Williams, B-Dub, our producer slash musical director. Dick Vermeil's Hall of Fame speech. We told him to blow through the stop sign, and boy, he blew through the stop sign. That was outstanding.
I still want him to keep going, though. I was not done after 23 minutes. I don't know about you, but I was like, give me more.
I feel like he'd named everybody by that point, so it was fine.
I don't know that he did.
The guy is amazing with names.
Yep.
And people.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the turnout. It was incredible. And, I mean, that light could have been flashing. He didn't see it.
No, he didn't care. No, he did not care. He blew right through that stop sign like anybody.
You timed the whole thing. I caught actually portions of it on TV and then had to run and then on satellite radio.
Mm-hmm. And then caught the rest of it on TV and when
then,
you got home.
And then it was wrapping up as then
still going.
I got home. It was amazing. When he started pointing out people in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
I coached with, he was an assistant for me back at UCLA. Tom Shreveport couldn't make it today, but his son Jimmy is there. Where's Jimmy at? Jimmy, stand up.
Yeah.
Stand up and wave. And he knew every stinking person's name. Incredible. Well, incredible. I love it because we told him, he's like, you're going last. You can talk as long as you want. And he was really worried when he chatted with us on Thursday that he wasn't going to have enough time.
That's exactly right.
And then it got to the moment he didn't care.
No, he did not.
Which was how you should handle that one.
And who's going to stop you at that point in time? It's your Hall of Fame induction speech. And granted, I didn't watch much of the Hall of Fame. I saw Bryant Young. That's kind of when I tuned in. And that was a heart-wrenching, just unbelievably sad speech where he talked about his son passing away from a brain tumor. And I think that kind of set the mood for everybody for the rest of the Hall of Fame. And then they had Cliff Branch's sister come on and speak on behalf of him after he had passed away. And, you know, Mark Davis and the Raider family honored Cliff Branch, who should have been in a long time ago. You watch some of those highlights and what that guy was able to do on the field. I never had the opportunity to watch Cliff Branch play, but just with the Hall of Fame stuff going on and you see some of the highlights, that guy was fast. That guy was changing the game before this was truly a passing game in the NFL. And they took this long to get him into the Hall of Fame. It goes to show you how hard it is to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I've said that for a long time. Look at Dick Vermeil. He took him this long to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? It's not an easy place in which to get in. Derek Thomas didn't get in. I don't even think he got in on his second eligibility, if I'm not mistaken. I think it ended up being his third eligibility before he got into the Hall of Fame. So it really is like this sacred place with only like 320 members or something like that. So once, you know, Cliff Branch got in, then it was time for Dick Vermeil. I was not at all worried about how long he was going to take in that speech. I could have sat there for another hour and listened to him talk, right?
I was just timing it because it was kind of fun. And I tuned in at 11, and I was doing some other stuff around the house, but I tuned in at 11 because
mm-hmm.
that's when the thing started. I'm like, okay, let me just, I don't remember. I haven't watched one of these in a while. How long does each one take? Well, the first guy did only probably 8 minutes.
Okay.
But it was like it ended up being like a half hour.
Right. Because the introduction to the players was longer than a lot of these guys' speeches.
And I didn't listen to most of it because it was Boomer and you know, I don't like him.
Yeah.
And so I just couldn't do it. And so I'm like half hour. I'm trying to do the math, you know.
Yeah, when he's going to be here.
What time is Dick Vermeil going to be on? Right. I want to kind of catch this, but we'll see. And so then they get done with Cliff Branch. Cliff Branch was right before it, right? Mm-hmm. So they did the Cliff Branch one, and then you see Vermeil waiting in the wings. I'm like, oh, this must be happening. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I started my timer, right? Started the timer on my phone. You probably did the same thing. Yep. I'm like, okay, let's see where this is. And my son comes down, and he wanted me to take him and his friends to the gym. I'm like, yeah, just give me a moment. I want to watch Dick Vermeil. Mm-hmm. It's timed. He told us it's only going to be like 8 minutes or something. Can you hang on? Yeah, it's fine. So he sits down with me to watch. And about 10 minutes in, he's like, he's just naming people's names.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, yeah, that's kind of what the Hall of Fame is. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, just get to this. And it was 10 minutes in, and he hadn't entered the pros yet.
Right, yeah, that's right. He's still at high school, yeah.
He hadn't entered the pros yet. And then, he introduced the high school team, and he told us the high school team, and he joked with us that he was trying to do the math on how old these guys were. He goes, they must be in their 70s. So they do the high school team, and that high school team stands up, and my son goes, oh, my God, those guys are old.
Yeah, well.
I said, yeah. That was the high school team he coached. Like, okay. And so he's kind of endured a little more, and he's like, all right, Dad, can we go?
Yeah, we got to go now.
Can we go? My friends are waiting. Can we go? I'm like, yeah, we go. So I throw on a new NFL radio, had it on there, so I flip it on in the car. And the boys are talking in the car, and I'm kind of trying to listen. And
yeah.
They think it's the dumbest thing, you know.
Right, they don't
These
know.
Are 15-year-olds. They think this is the dumbest thing ever. Why aren't we listening to music? This is ridiculous. And so I'm listening the whole way, and I'm paying attention. And then he gets to the end. They come back, and the guy who's hosting an NFL radio goes, well, that was a long one. And I start laughing. I'm like, I've way to go.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had the stopwatch, and then you text a few minutes later, like 23 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that was fun. It was fun.
It really was. It was enjoyable to watch that, and that's what you want for the Hall of Fame. You want somebody to go up there and just kind of reflect on their entire career.
He knows,
and thank everybody who helped him along
the way. And he knows everybody's
name.
He had notes, but he wasn't really
right.
He was, you know, he had him there, and they're blowing, so he was trying to like
hold
it to the podium.
Down and, yeah.
But he just knows. He knew everybody's names.
He was rolling through.
He knew
it
everybody's
all.
Kids.
Yep, he was thanking everybody.
He was pointing them out like he was pointing out defenses in the crowd. He was Dick Vermeil is
yeah,
what he was.
He was fantastic. And I think, you know, listening to him kind of do the whole speech, it reminds you of just how many people this guy has come in contact with in his 80 plus years on the earth, but how many people he's really made a true impression on as well. Because there's a lot of people who go around the sun, man, and they don't have an impression. They don't make a mark. They don't make an impact on anybody. Dick Vermeil legitimately has made an impact on every single person that he's come in contact with. And, you know, for me, Josh, I think there's at least one time a week where I say something that I learned from Dick Vermeil when I was covering him for the 5 years that he was the Chiefs head football coach. There's something I take away from him all the time. And, you know, just to be me in my first real job, I mean, my first real job was down in Texas for a year and 10 months, but to come back to Kansas City and Dick Vermeil is the guy you get the opportunity to cover and be around and learn from on a daily basis, it really set the mark. And I don't know, other than Andy Reid, many haven't lived up to that first coach that I had the opportunity to coach here or cover here in Kansas City. And so he had a remarkable impact on everybody, his players, his coaches, people that covered him, family, friends. I mean, my God, the whole Canton, Ohio crowd was full of Dick Vermeil supporters the other day.
He's going in as an Eagle, but he loves him.
Not really. You don't go in as anybody.
That's what they were saying.
Though.
He was going in as Eagle.
That's really
and his
bizarre.
His bust was from his Eagle days.
Yeah, but that's because I remember getting into arguments with people in the Chiefs all the time. Bob Moore back in the day, who was the historian now of the franchise. You don't go in as anybody in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You just go in as somebody.
That's what everybody was saying, though.
But everybody was saying he was going in as an Eagle. I think he made a comment when he first got announced, like, if you had to go in as somebody, who would you go in as? And I think he said the Eagles because that was his longest tenure. That was like 7 years in Philadelphia and the first Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, and that's where he still lives. But for a guy who didn't really accomplish, you know, the Super Bowl championship here in Kansas City, I think he's remembered as a Chiefs coach maybe more than even as the Rams head coach where he won the Super Bowl.
Vermeil loves him some KC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kansas City Chief people, Kansas City fans, the Kansas City people are the most passionate and compassionate combination of fans I've ever been around. They were so, so great to represent, and Lamar and all you people and Carl who brought me there. Thank all of you. Thank the Hall of Famers here. I see Tony sitting there, Mr. Rope sitting right here. You know how much smarter I got when Marshall Faulk showed up in St. Louis? That's amazing how much better coach I became. But anyway, thank all you Hall of Famers. Harold Carmichael, where are you, buddy? Hey, we're hooked at the hip. Kurt Warner, his story is true. Where would I be without Kurt Warner? I wouldn't be standing here. So, gosh, thank you for the contributions all of you guys made. Isaac Bruce, he's in here already. Thank you for the contributions you made to my career and all the rest of you. God bless you.
He couldn't scan the crowd and not run into somebody he'd coached.
Yes, I know. It was good.
Oh, hey, there's Tony Gonzalez. Whoa, there's Isaac Bruce. Oh, there's Harold Carmichael. Where are you at?
Yeah.
Oh, there's
stand up.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing.
It was great.
It was amazing.
It was so much fun. It was so enjoyable. And I talked a little to Al Saunders on Saturday after the induction ceremony. He was glowing. He stood up, got an ovation. I mean, like he and that's what made Dick Vermeil so good at what he did. He always gave the credit and the praise to everybody else. I mean, and you see a lot of that with Andy Reid as well. You know, you hear from Andy, you know, all the time, I called the bad plays, they called the good plays. You know, you see that happen all the time. And so I think that's what makes Dick Vermeil, you know, a special human being and somebody that, you know, should be honored and treasured a lot more than he already is. And I just look back at Dick Vermeil, Josh, and I think to myself, I'm like, damn, there's one thing that I wish for in Kansas City was that for Vermeil to win that AFC championship. And you hear how much it still bothers him that he wasn't able to win that trophy and win the Lamar Hunt trophy here in Kansas City. I think that really does grind his gears. And I think if you look back and you talk to Dick Vermeil, the one biggest regret that he has in the history of coaching is not being able to get the Lamar Hunt trophy back in here to Kansas City. And that's like on my wish list of things, of past things that could have happened in Kansas City. There's not much more, I don't think, for me on that list of past things. Man, I really wish this would have happened, but I really wish now, looking back, Dick Vermeil would have won that AFC Championship trophy, because I know still to this day, he mentioned it with us, how much it hurts him, yeah, and how much it pains him that he wasn't able to do that.
I think less for anybody other than him.
Yeah.
I mean, we ultimately got it.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like a city,
sure,
and whatever, yeah, and this run's been fantastic. But for him, yeah, because everything he's accomplished, he still points that out every time.
Yeah,
every time we talk to him,
every
he does that.
Time.
Like, man, you've accomplished so much. Like, don't sweat it. Like,
right.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but don't sweat it. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't.
Right. I hope he doesn't either, but I think he does. And I think that's truly, you know, his biggest regret. And I think everybody goes through life with regrets. Everybody goes through life wondering what if, and they have those moments. I'm sure we've all had something like that. Man, what if I would have done this? What if I would have done that? And I think for Dick Vermeil, this is the life's biggest what if, biggest kind of regret, if you will, that he wasn't able to accomplish that. And you're right, Josh. I hope he's able to kind of have peace and kind of let it go, that it's okay that he didn't get that championship trophy here, because Andy Reid came in, was able to get a couple of the Lamar Hunt trophies here for the Hunt
family,
which
I think
that Super Bowl.
Dick
and
Vermeil.
I think it probably has helped Dick
he's
Vermeil.
He's got a,
yeah,
huge regard as well for Andy Reid.
He really does,
he,
yeah,
took time to really credit Andy Reid for coming out and to Canton, Ohio,
yeah,
and visiting with him before the ceremony.
Yeah, they flew out on Friday, had the off day on Friday. He went out there, was part of some events on Friday night, came
and
back for practice
could tell
on Saturday.
By his words, how much that meant to him.
Yeah, it really did. Yep.
And then he's talked with us before about, you know, Andy Reid winning the Super Bowl here and everything. It feels like it kind of like, mm-hmm, that's helped him.
Yeah, I hope it did. Yeah. I hope it did, because he's very responsible for Andy Reid being here in Kansas City. I mean, Andy told us last week when we talked to him how responsible Dick Vermeil was for him being here and suggesting Kansas City and saying, you know what, you got to go work for the Hunt family. It's a pretty good operation. And I think Andy Reid winning that championship here in Kansas City, and especially that Hunt trophy, which is why Andy Reid said the best thing that he's ever accomplished here in Kansas City was winning the Lamar Hunt trophy. Not Lombardi, the Lamar Hunt trophy, because of what it means to this organization. And when it has the name of your founder on it, you kind of want to win that thing and keep it here in KC.
It was a fun weekend for the Royals, but it's still not April or May. We'll explain next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967, on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Three balls, two strikes, bases empty, two out. High fly ball, deep center. Back goes Durant to the wall, and gone. There was the mistake. There was the good swing. There was a Royals victory.
Denny knew it all along. Saturday. Here on 610 Sports Radio, as Nick Prado delivers the walk-off home run. Royals had bookend home runs, the first at-bat of the game for them and the last at-bat of the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they win over the Red Sox, took 3 of 4, and had a really nice weekend series. And, man, stirred the fire for Royals fans. Good. You'll want Royals management, you'll want to know this. You want to know this. You got them.
Mm-hmm.
You got them. You got a boatload of people. I don't know how many people you heard it from over the weekend. I heard it from a bunch over the weekend, and were like, and I was excited too. It was a great series.
Great
fun.
Series, yeah.
It was great to watch the kids play and mm-hmm. everything. But I still have zero, or maybe negative, maybe negative, unfortunately, expectations for what's ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get over the skis on this one.
Nope. I'm not going to buy in. I'm just
this
not right now.
This is not April.
Right. Do it in April. Do it in May.
This
and
is
then
March.
We'll have conversations.
This
yes.
is not April.
This is March.
This is not April or May. Right. I wish it was. It's August.
We
the
see
Royals
this every
are
year.
Royal.
Yeah. Yeah. The Royals are royal. This mm-hmm. is exactly what the Royals do. They stink up the joint to start. They give you some things to bank on in the middle. And then we're all hoping the end translates into carrying over in the next year.
Right.
I hope it does, but it's no guarantee at all. That's the tough part of this. But I'm glad that they have cleared the deck, and I'm glad all these rookies are playing. I'm glad all these young players, because they're fun to watch.
They are, and you can definitely see a difference, too, just without having, you know, Andrew Benintendi around anymore and not having Whit Merrifield around anymore. These young kids look like they're playing free and clear, and there's something to be said for that, for giving them the opportunity to just go out there and do their thing and not have the weight and the burden of Negator in the locker room walking around keeping everybody down, and I think that's ultimately what Whit Merrifield did. I mean, I've been in that locker room. I've seen the body language on Whit Merrifield. He doesn't have the best body language in the world, okay? And when you see somebody kind of slumping in with their shoulders down, it brings down the entire room. You kind of saw that first week now of these guys playing without Whit Merrifield and Andrew Benintendi in that locker room and that cloud hanging over the top of them. And you can see the difference that I believe it's made. We'll talk to Josh Vernier coming up at 8:30 about it. He's in that locker room every day, and he sees what goes on inside that locker room. And you can just tell these guys had a lot of fun this weekend. They've had a lot of fun since that trade deadline. And they were able to kind of go about their business without that black cloud riding over top of them, which what Merrifield ended up being. He ended up being a guy who was sucking the fun of playing baseball out of that clubhouse. And I understand it. He went through a lot here. They never won when he was here in Kansas City. So I understand why he was down all the time. But you can't have your leader being like that. Exit the leader, and now look what's happened. It was a fun series against the Boston Red Sox. But for me right now, I look at it and I say, you've got to do it in April and May. I got a text from a friend of mine yesterday and said the Royals are 15-15 in their last 30. And my response was, I wish they were 15-15 in their first 30, because you start to look about what's going on in the division right now. The Red Sox or the White Sox are like 2 games back right now of the division lead. They're roughly a 500 ball club. I mean, if this team was just a 500 ball club, they would be in the mix, and it would be something we'd be excited about right now down the stretch. but they're not. And we see this every year where the pressure gets off. A lot of the guys are, or a lot of the teams are playing younger players. A lot of never has-beens and never will-bes are playing right now for some of these teams in Major League Baseball. I can't buy in until I see it with the pressures on. And every April, the pressure is on. And every April, or maybe it's May, one of those 2 months ends up being a stinker that eliminates you from the playoffs, and everybody moves on and talks about OTAs and guys playing football in their shorts. That's just kind of the cycle of life that's been here in Kansas City from a baseball standpoint, other than 14 and 15. Are the signs good? Yeah, there's a lot of good signs right now, but they have to do it in April and May when the pressure's on and people are watching and paying attention and it matters. Right now, it just doesn't matter that they're winning baseball games. It has nothing to do with anything because we've seen this before. You've got to win early. You got to capture the fan base in April and May.
It just makes it much more palatable to consume right now. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
It gives you a reason to tune in now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does. They're,
sure.
They're fun.
Well,
they're exciting.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I don't know what it translates to.
Right.
And you don't either.
Right.
I wish we did. I wish this directly, like, you could make a direct line between, wow, early August baseball will mean fast start in April.
Right.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. It never does, because we all see this every year. We're like, all right, let's go. Let's carry this over. And then something happens and they don't carry it over.
But for the here and now, give me the Masseys. Give me the Eatons.
Yeah, give me all these guys.
Give me a Prado walk-off. Give me Melendez knocking in six.
Right.
All that stuff. It's awesome. It's fun. It's fun. It gives you a reason to tune in right now. But they're still going to have the prove it tag.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they're going to still have to go out and add in this offseason. They're still going to need an ace, a top of the line pitcher.
Also getting the extra juice of this weekend was Hosmer back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a feel good.
Yeah.
It made you think about, wow, remember when Hosmer and Salvi were kids?
Mm-hmm.
And man, they came along and boy, this looks a lot. You heard a lot of, boy, this looks a lot like 13. I hope that's the case.
I've heard that from a lot of people too.
But yep. I think it was the collision of planets there.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hosmer was back, we had all these great memories, and then you're like, well, maybe these two guys are Hosmer and Moose,
right.
Or maybe these two are Salvi and Locaine, and I think it happened to be coincidental that it happened this weekend, and they played well, and Hosmer was here, and all those things, and it got a lot of people buying in, which
sure,
again,
yeah.
The Royals, you should be happy about it. I think you got a lot of people buying in that watch this weekend series.
Absolutely. And I hope the Royals, you know, do this in April and May so everybody can truly buy in. And it's truly something that we can get behind, because again, if you can't win the division, you can't win a pennant in April or May, but you sure as hell can lose
yourself out of it
and play yourself out of it in April and May. And that's what the Royals have done. I don't know what the magic elixir is, if there's a pill or a switch or something that you can flip to get you to play good baseball early in the season when it matters, but that's what they have to do. It's one thing to, you know, play good in April and May, and everybody's going to go through a swoon. The Yankees just got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Braves lost 4 out of 5 to the Mets over the weekend, and good teams will lose games and they'll have their struggles, but you have to establish early in the season and put some distance between yourself and everybody else, or at least keep pace with everybody else for those first 2 months of the season. Because if you do that, then it's on. Then it's game on, and we get the opportunity then to start talking about trade deadline and adding. Like, last week was a lot of fun if you were a team that was adding at the trade deadline. You were able to get some good players. You were able to make your team better. I want to be part of that next year. And there was a part of me last week that was watching this that was a little resentful that we weren't part of the ad, that we were part of the giving away. And they gave away the right players and traded away the right players. I should say not gave away, but traded away the right players to make the overall organization better. But I want to be an organization that's adding to the party next year. And I think a lot of people are looking at this as like 2012 as well, where it was just really, really bad. But then at the end of 2012, it started to get a little bit better, carried into 2013 a little bit more, and then obviously 2014 and 15 we saw what happened. So if this could be the end of the 2012 season and the next year be 2013, where you start to see incremental growth in this ball club, that would be a good thing. But they have to come out of the gates hot, and anything short of a great April and May is going to put us in the same situation again next year, like we've been for the last couple of years, where everybody's excited about August and September and it turns into nothing the following year.
Off today, double dip coming up on Tuesday. We will talk with Josh Vernier, a Royals insider, coming up. And about 2 hours from now, he'll join us coming up at 8:30. Bring me all of the Chiefs with something to prove, please. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967.
The show first to breaking news in Kansas City.
So apparently, if you've pooped yourself on Lucky Charms, go to iowaspoison.com.
610 Sports Radio.
Any chief that feels they've been shorted, got something to prove, got a contract coming, bring them on. Let's just gather all this huge momentum they're going to get and roll people. I was
this is very reminiscent of KU going into the tournament claiming no respect.
Right.
It's very reminiscent of that.
They're getting plenty of it. So yeah.
Who, KU or the Chiefs?
The Chiefs.
I think they're the Rodney Dangerfield of this whole thing. Does that reference make sense to anybody anymore?
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows back to school, right?
Do they? I get no respect. Hey.
Latest example, I'm driving around. I think this was probably after Dick Vermeil wrapped up his speech.
Mm-hmm. So
and,
this morning.
And I got 610 on, and I don't know who the person was. It was LeVar Arrington and somebody. Another former player, but I don't know who was. It was before the Royals were on Saturday. And so they're chatting, and he says, Darren Waller's the best tight end in football.
Who?
Darren Waller.
Never heard of him.
And I'm going, come on, why?
Why are we doing this?
Travis Kelce's led the NFL in receiving the last like five. It's enough.
Enough. Stop. Yeah.
Don't give me Darren Waller's the best tight end in the NFL.
But what gets you to talk about and remember and you know monetize?
And LeVar, to his credit, goes really.
LeVar didn't say that.
No, LeVar was the other
okay,
guy.
Was the other
I don't
guy.
I don't know who was. I just don't know who was. I was like, come on, let's just. I said, the Chiefs doubters tour. Let's go. Mm-hmm. This is getting ridiculous. The James Jones who predicted they'd finish last in the division.
Correct. People predicting Patrick Mahomes not the best quarterback in the division.
Everybody's got something to prove this year. Not that, you know, Travis Kelce has anything to prove, but
yeah, I think
you
he
know.
Does though now.
But now you're like, you know, Darren Waller's not the best tight end in the division, no. Let alone the NFL.
Not in the NFL, not in the division.
The answer is Travis Kelce. So
it's one thing if people, you know, wanted to say George Kittle, you know, a couple of years ago and have that argument. But I think Travis Kelce has done enough, Josh, in my opinion anyway, to kind of separate himself from everybody else in the NFL.
Kittle can't stay healthy.
And you know, the knock about Travis Kelce was like the nerds would sit there and go, well, he doesn't have good blocking position and his footwork isn't directly equating who cares.
He's got a ton of receiving yards.
He's got a ton of, like you said it, he led the league in receiving yards, not from tight ends, but all receivers in the National Football League. The man led the league. And so when you've got a situation like that and a guy who's in the category for the best receiver in the game, yeah, Travis Kelce is the best in the NFL, and I don't know why people continually look for somebody to kind of replace Travis Kelce. It's okay at this point in time to say, look, Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the NFL. Now, if you want to talk about who could be second best in the NFL and you want to put Darren Waller in that, fine. He's an amazing football player, but he's not Travis Kelce. The same thing goes with the quarterback position. I mean, if you want to say that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now and then have an argument for who is 2 through 32, by all means, go ahead and do that. If you want to talk about the Chiefs have the best offensive line in the NFL, 2 through 32, you can go ahead and do that as well. The Chiefs had the best draft and best GM in the NFL, great, 2 through 32, fine. Argue about all that. There are just certain things right now that if you're like looking and nitpicking with the Kansas City Chiefs, quite frankly, Josh, tight end isn't one of those where I would kind of go off the rails and try to find somebody right now that's better than Travis Kelce. He's earned that spot. He's the number one tight end in the NFL. Unless that changes because his play declines, nobody else could be up there, and you're wasting your time trying to figure out who the best tight end in the league is because it's 87. He wears red.
Okay, so throw Kelce on that list. We got Frank Clark on that list. You got Chris Jones on that list. You got Juan Thornhill on that list too, right?
Juan Thornhill's on the list of guys who have things to prove this year, no doubt.
And he, remember, came out and said he plans to have an all-pro season,
mm-hmm.
and he's not backing down.
The knee is healthier.
I have more mental clarity. Like, I feel better, like, all around. I just feel like that I'm back to myself, and I'm capable of having that all preseason. So I'm definitely here to back up whatever I said, and I'm not taking that back.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Just bring me all these guys with something to prove. I love it.
There's a couple of things with Juan Thornhill to me that really jump out like Turkey did. And number one is, now that injury situation is 100% fully behind him. They always say it takes at least 2 years off of that ACL injury, right? Last year was kind of that first year back.
And mentally, it might be more than that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. From the mental standpoint, it sounds like mental clarity is finally there from that injury, because you go your whole life as an athlete being able to basically do anything you want and dominate over anybody you want to dominate. Then you get to the professional ranks, you're like, oh my God, everybody else at this level is pretty damn good, right? I'm not the best anymore. Then you get an injury, and now for the first time in your career, you're being doubted, you're being tested, you're wondering. And so it takes a couple of years. Ask anybody in the NFL who's, especially at the safety position, who's had one of those ACL injuries, and it's not the physical side of things, it's the mental side of things, of being able to not only trust that knee, but be able to believe in that knee, that you can make the plays and have the belief in yourself that that knee isn't going to give out if you try to make that play. You go from a guy who's, you know, a reactor, a player, a big-time playmaker, to a guy who's thinking about, if I make this play, what's going to happen to my knee? Once you get out of that and back to, you know, normal, that's when you really take off again. And that's where Juan Thornhill is right now, the mental clarity side of things. And then somebody I was talking to over the last couple of days, when we were up at training camp, Josh, made the comment of, he's going to play much better now because Tyrann Mathieu is no longer on the field. And you remove somebody like that, where if you're working across from somebody every single day in practice in a game, and you're feeling like, I can't make a mistake because this guy's going to get mad at me. Do you ever work with a boss where you're on pins and needles all the time? Every time you make a mistake, they're going to tap on the glass and wave their fingers at you to come to them,
right?
Yes,
we had the same boss,
oh,
Bob.
That's right, we did. So when you work with somebody like that who makes it hard to go in and you're on eggshells every day, you're probably not going to play your best. That was the case with Juan Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu. He was kind of on eggshells every day. If I do this wrong, am I going to get yelled at? Is the man going to throw his arms in the air? Are we going to start playing? So that's gone now, and there's a clarity at that safety position, and Thornhill and Reed are like 1A and 1B of playing with each other right now, and they're having the time of their lives, and they're really gelling back there. I think Juan Thornhill's in for a huge season for this organization.
Yeah, I just think, you know, he's playing the confidence factor. That he's believing, he's ready to do something different.
Yes.
He's ready to kind of reclaim whatever.
Yes.
I think it's terrific.
I do too.
And I want to see all these guys back it up, because it's going to be fun.
I mean, I don't know what defines a good season as a safety. I think it's just one of those that you'll know it, right? Like, I think the safety position, the cornerback position, those are the eye test spots on the field, Josh. It's not like, you know, you look at a defensive end, he goes, well, he got 12 and a half sacks, that's a really good year. Or you look at a quarterback and you can look at his numbers and go, that was a really good year, without watching a game. We'll know walking away from every single game whether or not Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed and Trent McDuffie and Snead or whoever's playing the defensive back positions, we'll know as soon as the game's over whether or not they had a good game. Trust your eyes. You don't need to see stats and numbers and all that crap that people want to throw out there right now. It's okay to trust your eyes. The eye test is what's going to be very key, I think, for Juan Thornhill this year.
In action this week, that's right, Saturday on the road at the Bears. A noon start. I think we're doing pregame at 9 a.m.
I think we're doing a full coffee with Kling
regular season pregame on 106.5 The Wolf.
You don't know
as
yet,
far as
do
I know.
You?
I'm not quite sure. I believe maybe kind of. It might be a little shorter than that. I don't know. Tune in at 9.
Yeah. Either that or you get your George Strait.
That's right.
Troubadour.
That's right. Chiefs at Bears coming up on Saturday.
Oh,
for the,
Matt Nagy's making his
opener.
Return. How about that? His first game as a Chiefs assistant coach is back to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be pleasant.
Yeah.
Sure, they'll be pleasant.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Worry about your owners, okay, in Chicago, yes. And not the coaches and everything else. Until you get legit owners in Chicago, you're never going to have a winning franchise. Kiss my ass, Bears ownership.
Chiefs on the practice field today, tomorrow off Wednesday, and then Thursday before departing on Friday for Chicago. So Cody and Gold will be up at camp beginning at 10 right here on 610 Sports Radio.
And now the word on the street is you're going to actually go to Chicago for this game?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
all right. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's
what?
Cool. You're going to be
this
there.
In the news?
Tell everybody what you're going to be doing.
What am I going to be doing?
Sidelines. Josh is the sideline reporter for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
each year you get new people.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I'm trying to reintroduce.
I thought there was something I didn't know. What is it? Why don't you just tell me what I'm going to be doing?
I'll be having a cocktail at the hotel bar and charging it to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, what you'll be doing, Josh is the sideline reporter going into year three.
That's right.
As the sideline reporter. Hi, and I'm Josh Klingler, year three.
Year three. I don't know if we did that in the broadcast or not.
Please say we can do that.
I'm Josh Klingler in year three.
In year three.
Hi, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs for 25 years. And I'm Danon Hughes in year three. And I'm Josh Klingler in year three. And I'm Dan Israel in year 75. Israel's been doing this longer than the franchise has been around.
Yeah, longer than Mitch.
No question, longer than Mitch. Yeah, he was doing it when Kevin Harlan was the guy. Yep. So welcome to year three as the sideline reporter.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if there's something else I need to
know. Just want to reintroduce you as the sideline. Cool. I'm trying to prop you up. I'm trying to shine light on you.
Appreciate that. I forgot.
God, you try to do something nice for somebody, B-Dub, and they just want to shove it right up. What am I going to be doing?
What am I going to be doing?
You're going to be doing the sidelines and Chuck Taylors.
I have to.
I'm not fighting for your shoes anymore.
I have to. Have to be on P's and Q's, though. We're back on the team plane. So
that is true. Wear a pair of slacks.
Gotta
dress up.
Gotta go find some those clothes I haven't worn for a while.
Do they still fit?
Yeah.
If
who
not,
knows?
Take him to Dan. He'll alter them for you.
Need to get on that early in the week, I think, is probably what it is.
You better check today. Seriously. This not, you can't be something you're doing Thursday afternoon.
Can't do it
Thursday. No, you're right.
And make sure you don't sit in the wrong seat on the plane.
Yeah,
that's
you.
That's you. Get on the right bus. Don't be on.
Yeah, don't get on the wrong bus.
Don't
get on the first bus and sit in the first seat.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No.
That'd be the B-Dub, right?
On the Royals
you
trip.
Did, you got on the wrong seat.
And put him, told him to go on the wrong bus.
Oh, that's awesome,
They say, get on bus one. So I get out of TSA.
Who pranked you, first of all?
It was Bob Davis. He told me, you need to get on bus one. And I was like, all right, cool. Get out of TSA and nobody is around. So there's two buses in front of me. No designation of which one is bus one or which is bus two. Mm-hmm. So I got on the bus that was closest to me.
Well, of course.
Got on there. I saw Coach Eddie Rodriguez on there and was like, okay, I made the right bus.
Okay. And then, recognize somebody. Yeah.
And then the players were in the back and I didn't see him. And I believe it was Billy Butler. What are you doing on the bus, newbie? And I turned around and was like, oh, my goodness. Get off the bus. Get back on the right bus. And I'm walking through, and they're giving me a little clap and everything. And Paul Splitorff leans over and says, now you've made it. And he shot me the bird. And I was like, yeah.
He
shot me the bird. It was beautiful.
Split and Bob were the best on TV. They were just the best. I mean, I miss Split every day. I miss Bob Davis being on the Royals games and KU games. Together, they were fantastic. You know why they were so good? Because they genuinely liked each other, too. Yeah. And you could hear that on the broadcast. You know, it's important to work with the people that you're to like the people that you work with in a job like this. I like you guys. I hope you like me. I think it's important to have that likability factor with each other. And Bob and Split were not only good on the air together, they were boys off the air as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was such an entertaining, you felt like it was just a friendly your broadcast, you know?
That week was awesome because I got to eat dinner with them every night, and it was usually Bob Davis, Paul Splitorff, Don Free, and myself. And then one night we all went together, and Denny actually came out, and we went and got pizza in Chicago. And just to be that person to sit there and absorb everything.
Because
I didn't want to speak too much. I didn't want to go out of turn or anything. I just sat there and absorbed everything that they had.
Yeah.
And Bob and Split together were so quick-witted just with the jabs and the jokes and going at it. Loved every bit of that moment.
I don't know that there was anybody smarter and wittier on the air in this part of the country than Bob Davis. I mean, he was just so smart, so witty, so freaking funny.
Yes.
His one-liners, I mean, just we recall Bob Davis stories all the time. I mean, he was just that good and that smart and that funny.
But you do have to ask the right person.
Yes.
See, I asked Dan Israel because I knew he wouldn't. There's a couple others on our staff I wouldn't have asked.
Right, exactly.
I said, what's the dress? This is like, what's the dress code for the plane?
Because you know Dan isn't going to give me the wrong info.
And I tagged Danon on there, too, because he hadn't traveled yet either. I said for the now newbies, because we're in year three, but we haven't traveled with the team.
Mm-hmm.
What was the dress code? I said, notice I didn't ask, and I named a couple names because I knew I wouldn't get the right answer if I asked the wrong person.
Yeah, you'd have been in shorts.
You got to have team issues.
Oh, in the preseason,
sneakers.
You could wear shorts and flip-flops. All right, cool.
Yeah. And then you show up.
Yeah, show up, like, no. And Andy throws him off the plane. No, no, and
are
no.
Are you allowed to sit on the plane, or is that a rule that Andy has too? You can't sit on the plane.
No leaning. No. I think there's a no sleeping before takeoff rule.
You're going to violate that one. Struggle bus.
Bob's got a bone to pick already with the school calendar. Let it out next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
Mr. Blackwell has checked in.
No,
on the text line.
Very good. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach. You've got a bone to pick already with your school's calendar.
I do.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Bob sends this random note to us. Why is the school? Like, wow, we haven't even started school yet.
Well, I don't understand why, and my kids are in the Olathe School District. Why is the first day of school on Friday? Like, does that make any sense for the teachers or the students involved at all?
Ramp them up.
Like,
I guess.
When you said your kids start
on a Wednesday,
which is a week from this next Wednesday. So ours start on Friday. My daughter's going in the sixth grade this year, so she goes in on Thursday, has a half day, and then they start, you know, the school up on Friday, and everybody has a full day on Friday. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand why this is, you know, needed as a full day on Friday. Think about, like, the teachers. Do you really want to go in for a full day on Friday, then turn around and have the weekend? Let's have a hard start on Monday and just make this thing easier for everybody else. Or I guess they could say, well, if you wanted to give a half day on Monday to the sixth, then you're not starting till Tuesday, and you've already missed, you know, two full days of school that you could tack on to Christmas break, or, you know, so. But I just find it so bizarre. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to it, but it's like a Friday start? That stinks.
Well, if you're going
to
be unproductive on the first day, why don't you just get it away? Get it underway on a Friday.
Right.
You know?
Get it away on a Friday. Move I guess. I don't know.
Starting on Wednesday, I don't think they're going to be like settled in by Friday or anything. You know what
I
mean?
At least it's like a Wednesday. You at least get a half a week under your belt. You go on Friday, it's like, you know, that's it.
It probably totally makes sense based on the calendar of days they have to be in school and blah, 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 blah. There's probably a method to
probably
to
makes up for like a teacher in service day, whatever the case may be. I'm sure it all evens out. And you know what? Our school's probably done 3 or 4 days before you guys are in the summertime too, anyway. And so that's the way my mother, who was a teacher, always would look at it. Well, the sooner we start, the sooner we can get done, and the less snow days we have, then we don't have to make them up at the end. And when your kids are cheering on snow days in the winter, I always say you may have to make that day up, and you have to go longer in the summer. Oh, I don't want to do that. Right. So don't wish for snow.
That's right. We always had snow days when I was in school. So
yeah, we had like four that we were able to use.
Pretty much knew you were going to be going late.
But if you didn't use them, they gave them to you at the end of the year. Like, you got that knocked off. So if you didn't use any snow days, instead of getting out, you know, like June 5th, you got out June 2nd or whatever the case may
be. We never had that. I never experienced that till we got like here. They're like, oh, there's days at the end that you just thought were going to be snow days and weren't.
And weren't.
We used every stinking one of them.
Yeah, well, up in Iowa, I mean, that's, you know.
It was always the case. We would go when down here would not.
Absolutely. Yeah. There were some days like
we
that.
We walked uphill both ways, yes.
Right.
Yeah,
No shoes.
I lived across the street from the school when I grew up. And so at the times that we would get snow and shovel, I would always throw the snow into the street, hoping that would prevent the people from being able to drive. It never worked.
No buses can never work.
But we didn't have buses. Everybody walked. There was only one bus that we had, and that went to the Army base right outside of town, Picatinny Arsenal. Of course, you're all familiar with that. That was the only people who got bussed into the school. Everybody else was either dropped off by their parents or you walked. It was a very small town. Everybody could walk. I just thought by throwing the snow on the street, maybe every once in a while trying to get the hose out and freeze in the street, it would, you know, give you an opportunity to have school camps. Well, it never worked.
Plus, the pandemic has now killed it.
It's killed the snow days. The snow days are done. Yeah.
You don't need it.
You don't need it anymore. Just get online.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Just meet us there. We'll give you your assignment and you'll be fine.
And you'll be done for the day. Yeah.
They've got a system set up. Your snow days have not been foiled. It kind of stinks.
The other thing we used to do to try to get snow days, and now I'm going down a little memory lane here, with the one bus was always plugged in because it was diesel. We used to unplug the bus.
So bad.
I never knew it was true, but the rumor always was that the superintendent had a four-wheel drive.
Oh, was that the rumor?
And that was the arbiter. Mm-hmm. And that fictitious person is basically the person behind the curtain and Wizard of Oz, you know, would go out and tool around the streets and then decide. And so you were at the mercy of the superintendent with the four-wheel drive that decided whether schools. And probably was a complete lie.
Probably so.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but back in the day, you just created these things. And back in our day, you had to always listen to the radio, too, to find out. And if you were in A school and they were on the W's, you were screwed to the next half hour.
Good old days.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
Good old days.
Those
were the good old days. And then you listen that second time, you're like, am I sure I heard it right?
Did I hear it right? And then it don't call the school. Now you just look online or they send you a text and everybody kind of knows what's going on. It's a lot easier now to know if school is canceled.
But
I just found it weird. I'm like, we're starting on a Friday? Why are we starting on a Friday?
I don't think that's a bad idea.
Maybe not.
Just get it all out of their system. Like, all right, Monday, we're actually going to start.
And then we're actually going to start on Monday and have a hard start on Monday. Maybe they probably done some research or something on this, the best day in which to start school. Probably is a Friday.
Somebody wrote their
thesis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody got a doctorate. Yeah.
Thesis. Mm-hmm. They're getting a pay bump.
Yep.
And they've indoctrinated this schedule. So should be all right. Our countdown continues towards actual football.
That's right, fellas. 32 days until football returns, but now we have football the rest of the year on the weekends.
Every Sunday from here until the Chiefs win it on February 12th in Arizona, we've got a football game. Now, most of them are fake until obviously September 11th. We're still over a month away from real football. But nonetheless, if you want to watch practice games and guys you never heard of before, we got that start Thursday night, baby.
The Hall of Fame game outdrew the Stanley Cup playoffs and one of the NBA finals.
I'm not surprised.
We had no quarterbacks. We had Beathard and somebody else.
No, he didn't play either.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He wasn't even in there.
Jake Stidham. Luton.
Yeah.
Luton.
We had Stid play. I saw Stid play a little bit. But I'm not surprised that the Hall of Fame game beat the NHL or the NBA. The NFL is king.
That is correct.
NFL players could go out there and play blackjack against each other, and we would watch because we love the NFL. I'm not surprised at all.
So ready for it. Now, I was paying attention to everything training camp this weekend for the Chiefs, and one thing stuck out, jumped out like turkey, and kind of has me worried. Killa Trav has the stash back.
Yeah, you and my wife both.
Are we in or are we out on the stash?
Look, I'm in on it. I'm 100% in on it. Every once in a while, I won't shave for a couple of weeks, and I'll just shave the beard, leave the mustache. My wife gets mad. I shave it off the next day. Now that Travis has the mustache, I'm thinking about going full-time stash.
I like that he, pays homage to Andy.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, I never
thought about that. That's pretty good, though.
The other big red.
Yeah.
Why not?
I do like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I love it.
So do we bring back mustachios?
No, we don't. No.
I mean, because you had handlebar back in the day.
You did. How long did that take to grow?
Not very long, actually.
Really?
No.
All right.
No.
Well, let's do it for Trav. Let's all grow a mustache. So
all three of us are bringing back the stash.
Growing days are done.
Let's do it. Let's grow stashes for Trav. Why aren't you interested? Because your wife doesn't like it or because you didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it. It's ridiculous.
It is. Like, it gets to that point where it's, like, really thick, and you're like, and you get snot in it.
Really,
you're like,
you're just like, this is gross.
Like, I don't know how Kurt Nelson has lasted all these years, the head of the Royals Hall of Fame
with
the mustache.
It works on some people,
it does.
Though.
For Kurt, it does. If Kurt shaved his mustache, my wife would cry.
It would not look right. So, just not me. And then if it does look out of place, it's kind of fun, though, too. So if Travis's looks out of place, that's cool.
I think it looks great. Yeah. I think it is phenomenal. So, keep the stash. Should we grow stashes?
Yeah. We shouldn't, but Travis should.
I need to see Kling in the handlebar. You know?
I do, too. I want to see that.
I need that photographic evidence. That's enough.
Do it again, Kling. Come on.
I mean, it was so – you in the Jeep, you and Chase rolling in the Jeep, handlebar, mustache – flowing.
You got to do that for the team.
I just remember going out to the K where it felt so self-conscious.
I'd be out there
stupid looking at my session, and you just like, everybody's staring at you. You're like, no. No, it was more the self-conscious aspect of
that's
it.
That's where I was
again.
With it. That's part of the reason why I never kept the mustache.
You didn't want any questions. You're like, we're just doing It's a bit. We're not.
Yeah, self-conscious.
No,
is absolutely
terrible,
right.
Terrible, terrible.
No doubt. Yeah. You're like, I don't really feel good about this.
Not at all. Not at all. Gross.
My decision was not the best.
No.
But if I could do it for like one night, like if I take my wife out to dinner and wear a mustache, then she's... Then she's really upset about that. She doesn't like that. So I think mustaches for everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.